Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening that you're having a good start to your Tuesday. It is Tuesday, March 30th, and it is fun because we get to talk about a Grizzlies victory. Now, not the most convincing Grizzlies victory that we've seen this season, but certainly a victory nonetheless for a team that, just in all honesty, with the schedule that they've got coming up, could use as many of them as possible. The Grizzlies with a 120-110 victory last night over the Houston Rockets, and we'll get into that in the first segment. In the second segment, we'll get in the second and third segment, actually. Now, we've heard Coach Jenkins talk about the slow starts that the Grizzlies have had over the basically over the past week or so. You know, yes, their quality of opponent certainly, suggest that that is a reason why the Grizzlies have had a slow start. We're really going to dive into, over the second and third segment, what exactly is standing out in regards to the Grizzlies' slow starts and maybe a few things that might allow for those starts to get back to where they once were. We'll look into all that in the second and third segments. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. You can find the show wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen, that's where we will be. And we thank you for listening. We ask that you subscribe, review, let us know what you think of the show and what you might like to be discussed. For those who may be new listeners, with the trade deadline here and the stretch run of the NBA going on, my name is Sean Coleman. I've been covering the Grizzlies in a variety of forms for about 3 years now. Started writing over at Grizzly Bear Blues, where I'm happy to continue writing. Enjoy every minute that I get to interact with the great folks over there. And also been podcasting for about 2 years. Coming up in April will be my one-year anniversary with Locked On, and I enjoy every single minute that I get to do this because it allows for me to do several of my passions, talk about the Grizzlies, the NBA, sports in general, and more than anything, it allows for me to interact with those who also share the same passions that I do. And speaking of interacting with Grizzlies fans, I do want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by The Locker Room. And on Thursdays at 8, including this Thursday, every single Thursday at 8, we have Let's Talk Grizzness, our live interaction show via Locked On Grizzlies, where I bring up different folks from different fans, from different fan groups, whoever it may be, Grizzlies fans, whoever you may cheer for. If your interest is Grizzlies, come talk with us on the Locker Room app Thursdays at 8. Go to the App Store, download the Locker Room app. Some big things happening with Locker Room, but come and join us. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. So, of course, the Grizzlies, they get the 120-110 victory over the Houston Rockets. But as we've seen here recently, this victory was certainly not something that seemed like it was a sure thing until basically about 3 to 4 minutes left in the game, and that's what kind of stood out. You know, the Grizzlies were tied at halftime with the Rockets, 57-57, just inexplicably. You know, I know I've used that word quite a bit as of late, talking about, you know, the loss a few weeks ago against the Thunder, talking about the loss a few weeks ago against the Warriors, so on and so forth, but it just seems like that this Grizzlies team, especially in the first half, which we'll get into in a few moments, you know, it seems like that this Grizzlies team just does not have a lot of luck. There just is not that same, you know, urgency, that same ability to jump ahead quickly in these games in the first half like they did during the first half of the season. But thankfully, the Grizzlies are making some adjustments at halftime and are finding success in the second half. Once again, you know, as it showed, last year, during the 2019-2020 season, one thing that really occurred was that, you know, before December of 2019, the Grizzlies were absolutely running into just bad luck in the second half of games. There were several games where this Grizzlies team got up early, you know, in the first few months of Taylor Jenkins being the coach, and then they would give up a big second half lead, and they would wind up losing games. Once December hit in 2019, this Grizzlies team flipped the switch. They did a complete 180 in the third quarter, and ever since then, even into this year, this Grizzlies team has continued to really come out firing on all cylinders, and they make their difference in the third quarter. That's where they're really able to find their success. Well, tonight, last night was the same difference, but the difference between last year and this year is that a lot of the times where the Grizzlies are making adjustments, it's the defense getting the stops that it needs. Coach Jenkins talks all the time in the postgame pressers, one-on-one defense. He's been a few times that a measuring stick that this team goes by is the ability to get three stops in a row. What we've seen against Miami and against other teams at times, this team really, against Boston for instance, this team has really found success either somewhere between the middle of the third and the middle of the fourth, where they've really been able to go on good stretches of playing great defense. That is coupled with, on offense, a player basically taking over. And tonight was no different. In the third quarter, the Grizzlies were down by as much as, I believe, 11 or 12 to the Rockets at one point in the third quarter. And then D'Anthony Melton just went off. 13 points in less than 3 minutes. You know, I looked away for a few seconds, and by the time that I came back, the score had gone from the Grizzlies being down by like 10 to them being up one before DJ Augustine hit the shot at the end of the third quarter to give the Rockets the lead going into the fourth. But D'Anthony Melton was the one that stepped up tonight. Previously, it had been Ja Morant. Previously, you know, we've seen Dylan Brooks step up in the third and also step up in the fourth. Last night, it was Jonas Valanciunas stepping up in the fourth quarter. He was our closer, which he should have been, you know, with how awesome he was and the size difference that he certainly had. But the big key for me, for the Grizzlies, was the fact that between, I believe, 7 minutes and 37 seconds left on the clock and a minute, seven minutes and 17 seconds left on the clock and a minute 37 left on the clock, this Grizzlies team did not let the Rockets score. This Grizzlies team went from leading 105 to 104 to, I believe, leading 114 to 104. Yeah, the Grizzlies didn't score that much themselves, but they held the Rockets scoreless for nearly 6 minutes in that fourth quarter, and that's what really stood out as making the difference. This team, you know, the players and the coaches talk about playing a full 48 minutes. You know, that's what Taylor Jenkins talked about. He said against Utah, listen, we played great in the second, third, and fourth quarters, especially on Friday night, but it was the first quarter that got, you know, that really, you know, prevented us from being able to have the game that we wanted. It really does seem like that's been a trend for the Grizzlies this year, is that they're still trying to find their way to play a full 48 minutes. But they are starting to play their best basketball when it counts the most, in my opinion, and that's in the last 18 minutes of the game, and tonight was no different. Now, the Grizzlies needed to get stops. They did for six straight minutes, and then thanks to D'Anthony Melton's surge in the third quarter, as well as Jonas Valanciunas' surge in the fourth, this Grizzlies team was able to make a difference. Now, Jonas really stood out as the difference maker last night. You know, he's had some really good successes of late. You know, he just set the franchise record for most consecutive games with 15 or more rebounds last night. 30 points, 15 rebounds in the same game. A Grizzlies player has only done that 26 times in the history of the franchise, and Jonas joins Pau Gasol and Zach Randolph as being the only players to do it five or more times. He really is showing just how special of a talent he is compared to previous Grizzlies big men in franchise history. But the other key takeaway was this, was that just as Winslow basically did not play last night due to, I believe it was thigh soreness, he had some soreness with his leg, and then of course Grayson unfortunately just had another collision, and he was taken out of the game, though Coach Jenkins did say after the game that, you know, it seemed like x-rays were fine, it seemed like that everything was fine, it's just going to be a matter of how Grayson feels this morning. But the big thing is for the Grizzlies is that they had their depth once again stepped up. Xavier Tillman played some early minutes last night, but it was really D'Anthony Melton and Desmond Bane. Six more threes combined between both Melton and Bane, as well as the fact that they had 40 combined points. You know, it's just amazing how much success D'Anthony Melton has had this year. He now, I believe, if I looked at it correctly, last night, six of his nine career highs in points have come this season. I believe it's six of the nine times that he scored 20 or more points have now come this season. Five of the six times that D'Anthony Melton has made four more threes in a game, it's come this season. We're not just talking about Melton, you know, progressing this year. We're talking about him becoming a completely different player with the offense that's being added to his game, and it's really shining through, and now it's starting to shine through in clutch moments on nights where Ja Morant, Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, they didn't have their best games. Desmond Bane and D'Anthony Melton stepped right back up. And so that's the thing that it comes to the Grizzlies. You know, last night, this Grizzlies team, probably, you know, they were favored by, you know, different places, 8, 9, 10 points. You know, this team should have won last night in double digits. And they actually wound up doing that. They should have been doing it the whole game. But the good thing about last night is that even when this team is not at their strength, even when they're not playing at their best, they can have different players that they can rely on to step up. And last night, it was D'Anthony Melton and Jonas, and that certainly was a sight to see. But what would also be a nice sight to see is this team get off to better starts. It did it in the first half of the season, but in the second half of the season, this team certainly has struggled. Coming up, we'll get into a few reasons as to why this Grizzlies team is struggling in the first half of games now, and in the third segment, we'll talk about a few ways in which they might be able to change that going forward. We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Like me, I'm sure there are plenty of ways that you would love to enhance your ability to be a sports fan. But one of the great ways that I can tell you that's out there to do exactly that is the Locker Room app. The Locker Room app is a social audio, social media app that allows for you, anyone that's a sports fan, to be able to interact with other sports fans on a daily basis, to really be able to talk about anything that you want to in the world of sports and even beyond sports. If you want to talk to fellow Grizzlies fans every Thursday night at 8 through Let's Talk Grizzness, my live Locker Room show via the Locked on Grizzlies podcast, you could talk Grizzlies basketball with fellow Grizzlies fans. You could talk basketball in general with other NBA fans. It doesn't matter what sport you love, what athletes you love, what teams you love. It's all available for you via the Locker Room app. All you've got to do is go to the Apple App Store right now, only via an iOS system. But you can go to the App Store, download the app for free, sign up, create your profile, and within just a few moments, you have the ability to talk with anybody about anything that you want to in the world of sports. And the great thing is that there are always snippets of news coming out that Locker Room is continuing to grow. So whether you're someone who just likes good conversation, or maybe you're someone who wants to start being a content creator when it comes to sports, or someone like me who enjoys expanding their ability to be a content creator, whatever level you choose to enjoy sports conversation, Locker Room is the place for you to be. Again, go to the iOS store or the App Store, download the Locker Room app, and make sure you join for free. And make sure you join us every Thursday night at 8 for Let's Talk Grizzness, our live interaction show via the Locked on Grizzlies podcast. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Download the Locker Room app today. Get all the sports news you need every day in 20 minutes or less with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and you can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes a day with the Locked On Today podcast. Tomorrow, the Grizzlies will play the Jazz again for the third time in their last four games, and I'm really excited to welcome one of my favorite writers when it comes to the NBA. His name is Tony Jones of The Athletic, a guy who has been, who, if you have followed the Jazz for a while, especially ever since Mike Conley went there 2 years ago, he is a phenomenal writing talent, a phenomenal basketball mind, and his career has really taken off due to the great work that he does and the quality content that he always offers. He will be joining us tomorrow to discuss all things Jazz and Grizzlies, catching us up on Mike Conley, what's made the Jazz so successful this season, as well as his takes on the Grizzlies as well. So make sure tomorrow to tune in as we will welcome Tony Jones from The Athletic to discuss all things Grizzlies and Jazz with us. Well, over this past weekend, one observation that Coach Taylor Jenkins had about his team was this, is that he felt that the effort that the Grizzlies gave, you know, in terms of most of the game, you know, overall, he was proud of the effort that the Grizzlies gave. But one thing that he said that really stood out was that this Grizzlies team, the thing that they could not overcome was slow first quarter starts. And it was clearly evident. You know, I mentioned on yesterday's episode, I believe that I thought that the Jazz, you know, outscored the Grizzlies by like 24 to 25 points over the weekend during the first quarter. It was actually 34. When you combine the first quarter scores from Friday and Saturday night of last week, or this past weekend, against the best team in the NBA, the Grizzlies were down a total of 34 points. And you just can't do that. Like, when you, the Grizzlies were facing a significantly better team. And when you're doing that, though they gave themselves a chance on Friday night, you cannot average a 17-point deficit in the first quarter. It's just way too hard for you to be able to come back in those games. And it's especially true when the clearly the worst quarter of the season for the Grizzlies is the second quarter. The Grizzlies are one of the worst second quarter teams in the league this season. It just seems like that the Grizzlies, when the opposing teams make their in-game adjustments, the Grizzlies really struggle to adjust back until they get into the locker room, and that's when we see the Grizzlies become one of the best third quarter teams, is after they make adjustments at halftime. But the numbers from different perspectives really do show why the Grizzlies are struggling right now in the first half of games. And I'll get to why that is a big deal for the way that this team is constructed. But a few numbers to look at. So the main starting lineup that this Grizzlies team has used has been Ja Morant, Grayson Allen, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas from the 1 through 5 positions in the order that I, you know, mentioned them. That Grizzlies team, in the first half of the season, when that lineup played, they were at a net rating of 17.6. That is extremely positive. A positive net rating of 17.6 made them one of the better five-man lineups in the NBA. As a matter of fact, of all the five-man lineups, of the 32 five-man lineups that played 50 or more minutes together in the first quarter of games in the first half of the season, that five-man lineup was the best producing five-man lineup in the league. They had the best net rating for any five-man lineup that played 50 or more minutes together in first quarters during the first half of the season. But the problem is that overall, that five-man lineup that I mentioned, their 17.6 net rating, which was absolutely incredible, it has now regressed down to being a 1.9 net rating in the second half of the season, coming into last night's game. That is a significant fall off, and it was expected because there are some players that have regressed. Ja himself has regressed. Grayson has regressed himself. Kyle Anderson has regressed. Dylan Brooks and Jonas Valanciunas has stayed consistent, and Dylan Brooks himself has certainly improved. But overall, that starting five has significantly regressed when it comes to their productivity. And so their ability to start off games, the consistent ability that we saw for them to get the Grizzlies big leads to start games before the bench units came in, it's all but disappeared. And so unfortunately, the Grizzlies' ability to have big leads to work with before teams made adjustments to them, it's no longer there, so it makes it tough to win. In the first quarters of games, in the first half of the season, the Grizzlies had a positive net rating of 3.3. That is incredible. You know, it was a top 11 in the league. A 3.3 net rating. Since the second half began in the first quarter, this Grizzlies team has a negative 6.3 net rating. That's one of the worst in the league. And we're not even talking about the second quarter yet. In the second quarter, in the first half of the season, the Grizzlies were a negative 4 net rating. So that's why we saw a lot of times that in the first half of the season, despite the Grizzlies getting a big lead, they wound up being in a very close game at halftime, is because their second quarters were awful. But the problem is that it's even worse now. The Grizzlies in the second quarter of their game so far in the second half of the season, they have a negative 10.9 net rating. They're 23rd in offensive rating and 24th in defensive rating in second quarter so far in the second half of the season. This team basically is playing like one of the worst teams in basketball in the second quarters of games. They've been doing it all season long. And now that in the first quarters of games, they're not getting their big leads. As a matter of fact, they're already down in many of the games that they're playing in the second half of the season. So you combine playing behind in the first and second quarters, that's why you're seeing so many of these games where the Grizzlies are either tied or, you know, slightly behind inferior teams at halftime, or they're down significantly big margins, like double-digit margins at halftimes against good teams. And here's the kicker. Despite the fact that the Grizzlies had the ability to come out in the third quarter, and they made their adjustments, and they're one of the best third-quarter teams out there, and sometimes they do it well enough to be able to have a chance to win the game, this is not a team that has the traits to be able to come back in games. They do not shoot the three-ball well. They do not play half-court offense efficiently. They're not the fastest pace in the league. This is a team that's built, in my opinion, to play from ahead because their defense leads to offense. They win shot possessions, or they win the shot possession game by creating turnovers, getting offensive rebounds, and scoring in the paint. This isn't a team that's going to be able to catch up with other teams, especially if that other team is shooting the three ball well. That's why it was so critical in the first half of the season when the Grizzlies were having their good stretch runs for them to get out to good starts and then be able to maintain that lead throughout the game. Despite the 4 out of 5 games that they won in a row in that before they came into Utah this past weekend, this Grizzlies team just has not been good in the first half of games. And it's starting to show that because of that, they're limited on their ability to be able to come back in games. And though they're still winning games, though they're still finding ways to win, it's becoming a lot harder to accomplish that goal without that hot start in place. So that's what stood out about this Grizzlies team, is that the starting lineup that created such an advantage for them at times during the first half of the season, some of those players have regressed, as was expected, and now they're starting to find themselves in big holes that they've got to dig out of, you know, in the second half of games. And sometimes they're able to do it, but other times, if the Grizzlies would have simply gotten off to a better start, they would have had a much better chance to win the game. So we know that there clearly are different ways that we're seeing. There are several different factors that are showing that this Grizzlies team is not what they once were in the first half of games. How might the Grizzlies be able to change that? Coming up, I'm going to look at a few ways in which the Grizzlies might be able to impact how they start the game so that they have an easier opportunity once it comes to the second half to finish out a few more games with wins, which can make all the difference in the world when it comes to their playoff pursuit this season. Then there were six. That's right. There are six teams left in both the men's and women's NCAA tournaments. And after last night's great games, if part of your fun being a fan is betting and wagering on sports, you've got plenty of options tonight to enjoy in both March Madness tournaments. And the crazy thing is that that's just the tip of the iceberg. You've got the stretch runs of hockey, the stretch runs of the NBA. You've got baseball that's starting this week, UFC, soccer all around the world. No matter what sport you enjoy and the athletes that you love, if betting and wagering is part of your fun as a fan, then we've got the place for you to go that you can trust, and that's betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way for you to enjoy betting on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing. It even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. If you head to the website or use your mobile device and use the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today, you'll receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right. You'll get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Visit betonline.ag today. I've been talking to you for a while about Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, the best protein bar that's out there on the market. And the great thing is that Built Bar, in celebration of March Madness, has taken their campaign one step further. Of all the flavors that they have, which is now up to 18 different flavors that you could choose from if you go to builtbar.com, they're wanting you to choose the best in the Built Bar March Madness tournament. In today's matchup, we've got cookie dough chunk versus cookies and cream. This is legitimately the toughest matchup that I have had to choose in these March Madness tournaments. Even between the men's and women's brackets that I filled out, this is the toughest, but I've got to go with cookie dough chunk. Nothing beats cookie dough to me when it comes to flavors. And I can tell you this, nothing is going to beat you adding Built Bar to your day. That's the great thing about it. It's the health benefit that'll make your day better. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 15% off your next order of Built Bar. And don't forget to go to BuiltBar.com or Bar_Built on Twitter to get the links to vote for today's matchup. And like I say, between cookie dough chunk and cookies and cream, I would go cookie dough chunk all day long. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When it comes to changes for the Grizzlies, you know, we've heard Taylor Jenkins now talk about it. You know, about the fact that the Grizzlies know that they've got to get off to better starts in games. And there have been other people, you know, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, Evan Barnes had asked the players, you know, what do they think is the reason why they're getting off to such slow starts? And none of them really had an answer to it, which makes sense. You know, they haven't really looked at the film. They did get off to a bit better start in last night's game, but let's consider the opponent that they were facing in the Houston Rockets. The thing is this, is that there are probably several different reasons as to why the Grizzlies are getting off to slow starts. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the fact that players that were probably playing a bit above their heads in the first half of the season are regressing a bit when it comes to the second half. But in my opinion, you have proof now that yes, what you thought would work to begin the season, it began. But now, teams are making adjustments. Teams are making adjustments to where they're not letting the starting lineup of Ja, Grayson, or Desmond, Ja and a shooter next to him, plus Dylan, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas. Defenses have adjusted to what makes that unit work. And the Grizzlies now have to adjust back. Now, I don't think, I mean, you're certainly not going to move Ja. You know, Ja, Dylan, and Jonas still are net positives. They are still the reasons why that unit, in terms of what they do, in terms of doing their jobs, Ja, Dylan, and JV are doing just fine. Your areas of weakness right now are the regression that have occurred with Grayson and with Kyle Anderson. And I don't think you take Kyle Anderson out of the starting lineup because you really don't have any options that are worth taking him out. I don't think that putting Brandon Clark in the place of Kyle Anderson makes sense because I think Anderson is a bit more adaptable to going against starting units right now than Brandon Clark. And of course, you know, at the four, you know that the long-term answer is already there in Jaren Jackson Jr. when he comes back, even though that may not be this year. It's just a rotation between Kyle Anderson and Brandon Clark should serve you fine. At the end of the day, it comes back to the conversation that we've had time and time again, and that is the starting two-guard position, especially when it comes to the fact that the Grizzlies seem to have an obvious answer at the two-guard position to start in De'Anthony Melton. But the problem is he's not getting those starts. And that's the thing about it. He's not getting those starts because it just seems as if that Grayson Allen checks more of the boxes for Coach Taylor Jenkins because of his style of play. You know, Joe Mullinax said it best. It's not the fact that he shoots well, which Coach Taylor Jenkins preferences. It's the fact of how he plays. He does things in the best way possible to match the way that Grayson Allen does things in the best way possible that Coach Jenkins thinks they should be done. And if that's the way that Coach Jenkins wants things done, that's fine. But it's just hard to argue against the numbers, especially when those numbers are not as advantageous as they once were. And the reason why that is comes down to the value that Grayson's skill set versus De'Anthony Melton's skill set adds at different portions of the game. And I broke that down a bit yesterday on Twitter, but I wanted to expand on it a little bit simply due to it making sense, making the case for if De'Anthony Melton is not going to start, for him to at least close games, because for the past couple of games, it's been Desmond Bane who's been in the game over Melton, and it's been Grayson Allen who's been in the game over Melton. But here's what really stands out to me. When it comes to De'Anthony Melton, and when it comes to Grayson Allen and their numbers so far this season, when it comes to Grayson Allen shooting the ball, when it comes to him being able to shoot the ball, here's how his numbers go in terms of it being from three. And the whole idea behind this is to show just how important shooting the three is to Grayson's ability to add positive value versus how significantly less it means to De'Anthony Melton adding positive value. And here's what I mean. Grayson Allen in the first quarter of games so far this year, he's made 54% of his threes on 53 three attempts, and he's a plus 76. In second quarters, he's 12 of 39 for 31% from three, and he's a negative 63. So he drops from a plus 76 shooting the ball at a 54% clip from three in the first quarter to a negative 63 on the season coming into last night's game because he shoots 31% from three in the second quarter. He becomes a negative 43 in third quarters this year, shooting 25% from three. And in fourth quarters, so far this season, Grayson Allen is a 15 of 36. His three-point percentage is 42%, and he's a negative 2. So basically what this shows is the better Grayson is shooting the ball, the more value he's adding. That naturally makes sense. But the thing about it is that if Grayson is not shooting the ball well, he's a clear liability on the court. That goes to show in the month of March where he's been basically averaging a negative 6 points per game when he's on the court versus, you know, other players who have been better. So this just goes to show that, yes, Grayson Allen has certainly been an asset in the first quarters, but it's mainly because of the fact that he shoots the three ball well. Let's compare it to De'Anthony Melton. In the first quarter of games this year, De'Anthony Melton has attempted 40 threes and made 14 of them, 35% from three. Still is a plus 19 on the season in first quarters. In second quarters, he's only attempted 18 threes, made 38% of them, but is still a plus 23. In third quarters, he's 14 of 30 from three, good for 47%. He's a plus 38. And in fourth quarters, he shot 14 of 35 for the, or, excuse me, 14 of 19 of 35 from three, which is good for 54% and a plus 35. So the big difference that you see there is that with Grayson, he's at his best when he's shooting the ball. But at the end of the day, in three out of the four quarters that he's played, he's a liability. In all four quarters that De'Anthony Melton plays, he's a clear asset. And it does not depend on him shooting the ball. when he shoots the ball better, it certainly helps. But at the end of the day, he adds value elsewhere. He adds relative significant value elsewhere to still make him a net positive versus Grayson, who, while he will have stretches of playing decent defense, so much of his value is added through his shooting. When you compare these two along with Desmond Bane, I didn't do these numbers for Desmond Bane because Desmond Bane has been shooting the three well all year long. At the end of the day, so far this season, Desmond Bane is a plus 15 on the year. Grayson Allen is a negative 22. And DeAnthony Melton is a plus 115. The big thing about it is as we've always mentioned, Taylor Jenkins wants a shooter next to Ja Morant. And that makes sense. It makes sense to need that next to Ja. But for you to be able to significantly have that ability for it to make a difference, you've got to have shooters who could add more value to their contributions besides just shooting. And that's not Grayson Allen so far this year. He's been great when his shot is on, and he's made great strides on defense. But at the end of the day, if his shot's not falling, he's a clear liability. You can't say that same thing about DeAnthony Melton. And that's the big point that it comes back to, in my opinion, is that you know that it worked with Grayson in the first half of the season. You know that defenses know that, and they made their adjustments. And now you know that it's not making the difference anymore. As a matter of fact, it's a clear liability now. This team, you know, not necessarily a clear liability, but it's not giving you the advantage that you need to win some of the games that you're going to need to really be in that playoff pursuit. So if Coach Jenkins is acknowledging these slow starts, the players are acknowledging these slow starts, you can look at all the numbers that you want to. But if the defenses that the Grizzlies are facing have adjusted to how they start games, the Grizzlies have to adjust back. And to me, the way that that makes sense is to start someone different than the player who is probably the most clear liability of the starting lineup that we mentioned. And that would be replacing DeAnthony Melton with Grayson Allen. But even if you're not going to do that, it's at least playing DeAnthony Melton at the two-guard position at high leverage in closing game situations. At the end of the day, Coach Jenkins knows far more than any of us. You know, I can only speak for myself, but I would imagine that Coach Jenkins probably knows more than myself or anybody else does. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee it when it comes to coaching the Grizzlies. He knows his roster better than anybody. So I don't want to question what he's doing. I'm just saying that it seems to make sense that if you're acknowledging that the way that you're approaching games right now is not working because you're getting off to too slow of a start in the first quarter and in the second quarter of the first half of games, numbers would suggest that if you wanted to make a change, it clearly would be at the two-guard position, and you have your clear option to do it with DeAnthony Melton. But even if you're not going to start games with him, at least end games with him for him to make the big difference. And I think that if you did that, at the very least, I think that if you tried that, I think that you may see that in the long run, it's probably going to benefit you the most because numbers certainly show the Grizzlies are more productive with DeAnthony Melton on the court than any other two-guard that they have right now on the roster. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC. You can follow the podcast in general wherever you get your podcasts. By all means, let us know what you think of the show. Subscribe, review, let us know. We can't thank you enough for listening. Until next time, we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.